This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. And today, live from Salem, Oregon State Legislature, week number two of the short session for 2020, State Senator Floyd Prezansky. Floyd, good afternoon.
Hi, Kyle. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, over the past few days, we've been checking in with our local lawmakers, and of course, your district includes part of Douglas County along with part of Lane County, and to get their perspective of how the session has gone so far, some of the issues and some of the things that have been generating a lot of controversy, plus how you navigate your way through lots of bills in just 35 days. First of all, give us your overall perspective on how the session has gone to this point.
Well, I think for any short session, you have to remember, it's kind of like you got to have your running shoes on and ready to go, because when we hit the ground last Monday, and by the end of the day, you think you've been there for a week. And each day it seemed to be the same way, because everything's compounded with the timelines that we have to get bills out of committee to be considered for the floor, and then hopefully have enough time to get over to the other side if they're going to make it. So I think there's a lot of pressure that individuals have had on their own and kind of imposed on them to try to get their particular bills through as quick as possible. It's worth noting that there are 90 members, and on the Senate side, each of the members had one personal bill, so that's 30 bills. And on the other side, there are 60 members. They have two personal bills, so that's 120 plus 30, so that makes you basically, 150 bills, not including what was introduced by the committees, which are up to three bills per committee. So as you said, there's probably somewhere in the range of 250 plus bills that could, in fact, be considered during this short session.
When we went to this formula of having a short session as opposed to just meeting every other year, except for sometimes special sessions, it was said that the idea was to rebalance budgets and take care of things that absolutely had to be taken care of then and couldn't wait until the longer session. I think there's been some back and forth as we've gone along as to whether major legislation should be part of a short session, and that's certainly one of the controversies this time around.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, the reality when it was given to the voters to consider in 2010 for the vote, it was in fact stated that the primary reason would be to look at our budgets, see what revenue was coming in, making sure that we were meeting our obligations under the two-year funding package. But as you mentioned, Kyle, it also said that other legislation would be considered as necessary. The very first time we went through this in 2011, there was a citizen initiative regarding property crime mandatory minimum sentencing that the legislature did not appreciate as the perspective of the sponsor of that bill was kind of boxing in that it would be a lot of cost without justification for that. And so the legislature itself put a companion or opposing, I should say, initiative that was referred to the voters for an up or down vote in November against the other one that had been brought forward. And the voters went with the concept that the legislature put forward as being more sensible and reasonable in addressing those issues. So there are those needs. And then I think the other part, when you realize, such as myself, not being on a Ways and Means, either the full committee or on a sub, if you did not have active participation from the other members, most of the members that serve in the legislature would not have anything to be doing and would be just sitting in their offices waiting for the Ways and Means committee to basically do whatever they did. And then we would be, at that point, asked to up or down vote. And so participation, I think one of the things leadership looked at was it was appropriate. And that's why I think that we have the ability to have personal bills. But again, they've been restricted. I personally would like to see the House only have one bill per member, just like the Senate. But the Senate stuck to that, and the House chose to go with an additional bill per member. So hopefully, you know, we're still, let's say, trying to get the kinks out of the system that's relatively new in the legislative process. But it can be frustrating, and the reality is you have such a short time that if you don't have agreement across the table, more than likely that bill concept is not going anywhere anyway.
Well, let's talk about a number of things that have been coming up in the past few days. We'll talk more about the cap and trade bill in a moment, but first let's go back to the Timber Unity event on Thursday, and I'm curious, being from the Democratic side of things, what your perspective was to that event.
Well, to be very frank with you, I was not able to be at the Capitol to experience that. I had already been requested to be at a national conference on criminal justice reform and criminal justice process. So I flew out that morning, and so I did not was not here at the Capitol. There were 33 states that were represented, as well as Puerto Rico, and we were being identified as one of the leaders in some of the changes that have been made in the criminal justice. And as the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, they had asked me to be there as one of the participants. And so I did miss Thursdays, but of course we had a similar rally last session, and my understanding of my discussions on the phone during my breaks, that it was very well attended by individuals that were opposing the cap and trade, and but I also heard it was pretty respectful, except for some of the outside noise interfering with committees being able to conduct some business.
Now, how long were you gone for this conference?
Well, here's the weird thing about this. I flew out of Portland at 6:30 on Thursday morning. I was back in district Saturday night at 10. So I basically flew down to this conference was in Florida, and I got there at 7 o'clock their time, which would have been 4 o'clock our time. And so that was basically ten plus hours of travel. I was there all day Friday and a half a day Saturday, and flew out of at 2 o'clock their time, and got back here like at 7. And when I say here, that was to Portland, and then I had to drive back from Portland back to district, so that was another 2 hours.
Wow, so that was a bit of a fast trip. Do you feel like it was worth it for what you're doing in Salem?
Yes, I think this was very important for us to be recognized and also a participant, because a lot of the issues that we have being dealt with on the federal level are not being actually dealt with, and that the states are taking the lead in many areas, and the criminal justice system is one of the areas that we have seen little to any traction at the federal level, and so I did believe that it was appropriate for me to make that travel.
Now, were you there more as a legislator or because you're also a prosecutor, or did having both roles, was that one of the reasons you were invited?
As a legislator and as a chair of the committee that was that we moved some of the bills that we did this last time, such as the juvenile justice reform, the review and modification of aggravated murder, as well as some other stuff that we've did in the juvenile arena, were some of the things that we talked about at this conference. And other states also brought forward some of the concepts that we had already mastered, or some things that we wanted to be more enlightened on. And these conferences also have a lot of national experts that come in to provide us information. And so I was able to ask questions, get information directly from them, either during the presentation or afterwards. And also we will be using all of the material that was given out to us, the PowerPoints and some of the documentation that was given out for future use as to how we can maybe improve our system to be more efficient and equitable and accountable for everyone.
Let's come back to what's happening in Salem cap and trade bill. Obviously, the big one eliciting the most controversy. Share your thoughts about the bill, although it certainly seems to be evolving.
It is evolving. I think that's the most important part, Kyle. I don't think we have seen, and we won't see, the final bill until sometime probably next week. There's a number of amendments that have been requested and are being drafted for consideration. But I do believe that it is going to be the focal point, as it has been for this short session. And at this point, it seems to me that everyone is still at the table, and hopefully we'll have everyone stay at the table so we can discuss in an orderly manner what should or shouldn't be there. I've been very pleased with the work group that met, and I was not part of that work group during this last interim from July till the session began, that really looked at some of the issues with the bill that was before the legislature last session, House Bill 2020, and basically how we could accommodate some of the concerns. And my understanding and belief from what I've seen is that a lot of those have been addressed as it would pertain to rural areas, of having phase-ins for the different components, and in some cases not even having them included in the actual legislation, that they would basically opt in at some point in the future. So that's important because it does, in fact, recognize the impact that some of these type of changes can have in rural areas where travel is necessary. The income and stuff is much less than in the urban areas. And then when you look at where the CO2 problems seem to be the most involved as to trying to address those concerns, it's within those urban areas. So I think that was very important for that committee and work group that's been meeting for the last 5 or 6 months to recognize and bring alternatives to what was before us in 2020.
Going to take a break, and more on that topic and other things happening in Salem on Inside Douglas County in a moment. State Senator Floyd Prezansky on the phone from Salem. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246, News Radio 1240, KQAN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. We're still putting together tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program. State Senator Floyd Prezansky with us from Salem. Floyd, what's been going on today as lawmakers are meeting?
We basically are just picking up our Monday. We were had our first floor session that we actually had votes occurring. And so we had two bills up. They went fine on our side. And so I think the cap and trade is still one of those areas that's really being pushed. We had committee meetings for judiciary this morning. So, Kyle, I'm just saying I'm getting a lot of feedback. So I'm sorry if I'm not coming through as well, because I'm hearing a lot of feedback on the line today. The other parts that we're dealing with is really trying to set up and establish what's going to happen over this next week, because this coming Friday is the deadline for us to actually have bills out of your committees to move forward to the floor, and then at that point be voted on, and if they pass, going to the other chamber so they can actually take up the same piece of legislation. And so a lot of people are focusing today through this Friday, depending on the committee schedules, to get those bills out. Some committees will have to have their bills out by Wednesday. Our committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee, by Thursday. And on Friday, I'm not sure at this point, but there's one or two committees that could be still meeting to do additional work that need to make that deadline.
So from your reading so far of the cap and trade legislation, one of the concerns I've been hearing is that people say, regardless of where folks come down on the issue of climate change and things like that in terms of what causes it, et cetera, the question sometimes is, will the legislation and will the things enacted really make that much of a difference? What do you think?
Well, I think we all need to do our part, and to say that because Oregon may, quote unquote, have a smaller footprint than somewhere else or another country is missing, the perspective for all of us around the world. We need to be doing what we can to mitigate and actually do what we can to ensure for generations coming after us that they are not going to be that they will be enabled to actually have a quality of life that we have experienced throughout our lives.
And as you talk to your fellow Democrats, is the Democratic folks in the legislature all pretty much in the same thought pattern on this legislation?
Oh, we have a very big tent on the Democratic side. So there's a lot of prospects and opinions to still be aired and have been aired. So, no, I wouldn't say everyone is in, quote unquote, lockstep as to moving forward on any or the bill as it's currently written in its entirety.
And what about the Democratic lawmakers that are from the coast or the more rural areas? Have you heard more from them with perhaps asking more questions about it?
Some, yes. I mean, I think I would put myself in that same position, representing a very rural area, parts of my district. But even though some of the individuals that have had issues in the past session on House Bill 2020, its predecessor, have reached the agreement and understanding that we need, as a chamber, need to move the bill forward. So the bill is on our side. It will be first voted on. In committee, it will then have to go down to Ways and Means. Ways and Means will then look at it and make whatever decisions they make before it even goes to the floor of the Senate. And Arne Roblin, Laurie Montes Anderson, who had significant objections last time, as of the last time I spoke to them, they both were in agreement to move a bill forward so long as it had certain provisions addressed. And I think that it is to their satisfaction at this point. But again, I want to make certain everyone understands that this is still a work in action, and we haven't seen the final product. And until we actually have a final product through the committee, that it's the policy committee, and then out of Ways and Means, it's hard to say how people are going to actually vote at that time.
Now, while this is still evolving, and some of the GOP lawmakers I've talked to have said because this bill has so many aspects, ramifications, etc., they believe it's something that should go before the voters and not just be decided by the legislature.
Knowing how long it has taken for the legislature to be addressing or attempting to address this over multiple sessions, multiple work groups, many, many, many hours of testimony, I don't think that's fair to the voters to basically be impacted in the sense of for them to try to come up to speed and actually deal with the complex issues that are there on that type of perspective. I think that's really what the form of representative form of government is. The voters get a representative, either as a representative or as a senator, to represent them on these type of case, legislation, so we can actually put the time and effort in that's necessary to be fully informed as to what is best and or what we think is best, with the understanding that whatever starts off may need to be adjusted, just like any major piece of legislation. We usually have to come back and make certain there's no unintended consequences, or that we figure a way that's more efficient and better way to work the policy issues. And so I think this is something that is clearly an obligation of the legislature to be doing, and not passing the buck to the individual voters, who more than likely will not have the time to actually put in the effort that's necessary to be fully informed.
Now, what about...
Having the ability to access the information that they would need to be fully informed.
And let's turn a corner here a bit. You mentioned earlier in the interview about the very limited number of bills that both House and Senate members can put forward, and committees as well. What are you working on specifically?
So the individual bill I put forward deals with the area of cannabis. That is both medical and recreational marijuana, as well as industrial hemp. All three make up a new viral industry in our state, and I want to make certain that we are not going to be out of compliance with what the federal government requires at this point, and ensure that we're in position economically to move forward as an exporting state. What we do know is that we have a very viable market in the hemp area, which is basically hemp has little to no THC, which is the mind-altering cannabinoid that's in marijuana. And I want to ensure that we are positioned to really be that leading state, because what that means is revenue coming back into our state to take care of many other issues, such as funding of education and other programs that the state is obligated to take care of, health care, mental health, et cetera.
What about for your Judiciary Committee? What is that committee working on?
We have three bills that we introduced. They are all three very large relating clauses. One deals with law enforcement, one deals with public safety, and the other deals with courts. The law enforcement bill is one for that we've talked about previously, and that is to allow for the state police to re-fortify their ranks, where we are at the bottom of the barrel of number of troopers per 100,000 population, which is 8 per 100,000, and try to get it up to 15 troopers per 100,000, which would put us in the middle of the pack of other states as to the ratio of troopers to citizens, and that would be done over a 10-year period. That bill is going to be just got voted out of the committee today. Will be going to the floor, and then it will be heading over to the House, hopefully with a positive vote. That actually is going to Ways and Means. I just I was confusing it with another bill and dealing with court martials. The other bill dealing with the courts is one that catches multiple areas of legislation that was passed this last time, doing some cleanup and fixes. We dealt with Senate Bill 24 last session that deals with the placement of individuals that are needing assistance for aid and assist that are maybe having mental challenges. And instead of having them all going to the state hospital for some type of intervention, trying to keep them at the local level where it can be much more efficient and more effective for all. And the last bill dealing with public safety is another catch-all for issues that need to be dealt with that have different components in the public safety arena. So basically all three of those bills are known as omnibus bills, and what we're trying to do is limit it to technical fixes, not new concepts, so not new laws per se, but fixing what's already on the books. And moving that those fixes forward.
Now, with the 35-day limited session, do you see coming maybe this week an adjustment in the schedule as to more things going on Friday and maybe even on Saturday?
This week, I don't think so. I understand because we have the first chamber deadline for first chamber committee bills coming out Friday. I don't expect us to need to be meeting this coming weekend to be on the floor. I do believe that is a high likely outcome for next week, a week from this coming weekend, that we would in fact find a need for us to be here part of the weekend to ensure legislation's moving forward. But that will be a decision that will be made by our leadership, the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, probably next week.
All right, State Senator Floyd Przanski, thanks for checking in with us live from Salem.
Kyle, thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right, 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.